Welcome to Mission Love Ministries Bible Minute. We're taking a word-by-word look at John 3:16 and the gems hidden inside of this verse that is probably the most well-known verse of the Bible in the whole world. Today we are starting with the word for. Now in English class in school, we were taught that this word is a conjunction, and a conjunction joins together sentences, clauses, phrases, or words. And the Bible has many verses that start with a conjunction, such as the words and, but, and therefore. So when we start reading verse 16, we see that it doesn't start the beginning of a thought, but a continuation of one. In this verse, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who came to him at night. Jesus is in the process of telling him about his plan and purpose for coming into this world. We should always read every verse in its context so as not to misunderstand what is really being said. In Revelation 22, verses 18 through 19, we are told not to add to or take from what God is saying. To do so would bring about disastrous consequences. Always avoid taking the text out of its context, for it would leave you with a con. To continue, let's look at the word God. There are many ways we could speak the name of God. We could call him Yahweh, which is the Jewish way of pronouncing who he is. We can also call him Lord, Creator, or our Heavenly Father. When the Lord appeared to Moses and told him to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses asked who he should say sent him. The Lord said to tell him, "I am that I am has sent you." Another way of saying that is, "I will be because I am, because I was." God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who he's been and is will always be the same for all eternity. He never changes. The same God who took care of us before will take care of us now and forever, if we just continue to trust in him. Of all the names given to God, I like what 1 John 4:16 says. It says that God is love. Whichever name you call him, of all the names given in the Bible, just know that he will hear you because he is such a loving God who wants you to talk with him. We now look at the words so loved. So is a simple little word that says much. It means in the manner spoken of, in the way described, and to such a great extent. So when we see this, it means more than just an ordinary amount. Now let's look at the loved, which is the Greek word agape, which means the highest form of love. When it says that God so loved, it is expressing that God's utmost desire is to love mankind. Satan doesn't want us to receive God's love, so he brings up our past or current mistakes. But God's love is not based on our conduct, it is based on what he craves the most. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41, Jesus, the express image of God, was approached by a leper who said, "If you want to, you can make me clean." To which Jesus replied, "I will." If you were to look up the word will, it means that Jesus wanted to and craved to do this for him. So God's love is for us. He wants us to be so loved all the time. We should always be thinking about his passionate love for us so much that we don't just say, "I am loved," but rather, "I am so loved." As we continue our look at John 3:16, the word world is the inhabitants of the earth, the human race. We see that his love, which he loves us with, is extended to everyone here on this planet. Yes, even the ones who aren't so nice are also loved. Sometimes we may get, as it has been said, caught up in the moment when dealing with one of these not-so-nice people and forget that Christ died for them as much as he died for us. When praying, we should think of those who seem unlovable and remember that God loves them too. We should pray that their heart would also be opened so they can see how much passion God has for them as well. Yes, God has a personal love that is for us, but he also has a personal love which is for the whole world, too. He wants them to also know that they are so loved. The words he gave mean this: to give one, to someone, to care for his interests. To give one, of course, is Jesus. He is the one God has given. To someone is speaking of us. And when it says to care for, the definition of care is to provide what is necessary for the health, welfare, maintenance, and protection of someone. So God gave Jesus to us to provide for us because we are God's interest. God is such a giving God that He provided a way for us to be redeemed from Satan's grip so that we would be reconnected with God for all eternity. Over no other part of creation does God make such an effort to take care of. With this in mind, can we just give Him the praise and worship that He deserves? Now, when it says that God gave His only begotten Son, He wasn't giving someone who was a duplicate or an extra. He was giving His one of a kind who existed. There is no replacing His Son, no making a duplicate before He gave Him to us to be our Redeemer. No, Jesus was the one and only. No one like Him ever existed before. However, in Hebrews 2 verses 9 through 10, it says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And it goes on to say that in bringing many sons and daughters unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation, that is Jesus, perfect through sufferings. Yes, there was no one like His only begotten Son before Jesus came to earth. But now we, who have been born again through faith in Christ Jesus, are raised to life with Him and seated with Him in heavenly places. We are called the brothers and sisters of Jesus Himself in John 20, verse 17. And the Father loves us as He loves Jesus. So, as Hebrews 2, verse 13 says, Jesus is no longer the only begotten Son, but He and we are all children of God together. Now, as children of God, who are we? Well, the answer is found by looking at what Son means in this verse. This is the Greek word pronounced weos. It means kinship. And the definition of kinship is to be a blood relationship. It means that we share the characteristics or origins of our Creator. When a child is born, he or she shares some characteristics of their mother and some of their father. Sometimes you can see it in their eyes, or their frame, or behavior. We are blood relation with Jesus, who is the express image of God. We share common traits with our Lord, who gets His traits from God our Father. Romans 8 verses 16 through 17 say that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Through Christ, we have received the blessings of God's kingdom, and as joint heirs, we have received the same blessings that Jesus Himself has received. I encourage you today to read the New Testament in light of this God-given fact. It will change your life. God gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who is a whosoever? This word is a form of the word whoever and means all, both individually and collectively. When God sent His Son into the earth to redeem us back to Himself, the invitation of His plan of redemption was to any and all. John chapter 1 verses 11 through 12 say that Jesus came and, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in His name. You don't have to be a special someone to become a child of God or to receive His forgiveness after you have sinned. God's kingdom is not based on our status, but His status. He is the all-powerful, all-loving God. He has redeemed us by His power, His love, and His ability. All we have to do is receive His invitation by accepting His call to us, a whosoever. Continuing on, the word believeth is not just a random feeling or a vague idea. This is the Greek word that means, in faith, to give oneself up to. Its root word is pistis, meaning that one is persuaded of something as being the truth. This goes beyond what we feel or think. We are a spirit being. We have a soul that consists of our mind, will, and emotions. And it is a common mistake to say that we believe something that is true, but only believe it in our mind. This is called mental assent. But to believe in our heart is to go beyond our natural thinking and believe our spirit being, even when it doesn't feel possible or make sense in our mind. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the New Living Translation says, "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God has given us His Word so that we may meditate on it and receive it deep into our spirit being, where it can, as Mark chapter 4 says, produce a harvest many times more as has been planted. Now the phrase, "in Him," that occurs in John 3:16, is a doorway to many promises of God in the Bible, not just salvation. Variations of these promises include "in Christ," "in whom," "by Christ," "by Him," and "because of Christ." For example, in Romans 8 verse 1, it says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation means that God does not want us to feel that He disapproves of us, even if we sin after we have been born again. Another promise is found in Colossians 2, verse 3. It says, "In whom," that is, in Christ, "are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Regardless of which way these promises are expressed, our ability to receive them is through who Christ is and the pathway He has provided. In addition to the ones I've mentioned, here are some other New Testament phrases that we can look up in the Word of God. They are, "by Himself," "by His blood," "by whom," "from whom," "of Christ," "of Him," "through Christ," "through Him," "with Christ," "with Him," "by me," "in me," "in my love," and "in His name." Most of these occur from the book of Romans through the book of Revelation, but a few do occur in the Gospels and Acts as well. I do hope you will look up these verses and see for yourself what promises, in addition to salvation, that God through Christ has given to us. "Should not perish." What does that phrase mean in John 3:16? If you would look at the Greek word apolemi, you would see that it would mean to not incur the loss of true or eternal life, to not be delivered up to eternal misery. Even though the sin of Adam and Eve brought an hereditary condition upon mankind, God in His rich love has provided a way to escape an eternity of eternal death and given us the choice of eternal life. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, God said that He has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Then He says for us to choose life. Whether we realize it or not, choosing God and His life provided through Christ Jesus is our choice. No one else can choose it for us. If that were true, then God would do it for us. We choose whether or not we will accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We choose whether or not we read and meditate upon His Word. We choose whether or not we will go to church. We choose whether or not we join in a broadcast or podcast of a church service. God gives us the choice to accept or reject Jesus. If we choose to accept Him, we shall not perish. Now let's look at a simple word in John 3:16 that says, "have." It is one basic word, but the way it's defined goes beyond basic meaning. It can mean possess, contain, and experience. When it comes to eternal life, we can possess it, not of ourselves, but in ourselves through Christ and His finished work. We can contain everlasting life because of the One who is life when He comes to live in our heart. And to experience everlasting life is to experience God. I love the way that sounds, don't you? One more scripture I'm sure you would appreciate. When it comes to having everlasting life, this is found in Romans 8 verses 35 through 39 when it asks the question, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" It goes on to say that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God wants us to have everlasting life and not for us to separate from it. And this happens the same way it was given to us, through love. So let's possess, contain, and experience everlasting life. It's God's free gift to us today and always. Now we come to the part of John 3:16, which I call the prime meat of the verse. It's the words everlasting life. Everlasting means not just forever, but it is used of past, current, and future time. One thing we need to understand is that with God, there is no time. There is no point A to point B with Him. To get an idea of what time is, consider a circle. A circle has no beginning or end. That is God. He has always been, is, and will always be. That's what everlasting is. Now, what is life? We could go on for a long time talking about life, but in short summary, it is the Greek word zoe. Zoe is not a word to describe what we consider life to be like. We might mistakenly compare life on earth to the life of God. However, His life is beyond our comprehension. Those who have seen heaven say that the life they experience in heaven is so indescribable and so vast that human words fail to convey what it is like. This is the same life that is within us when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. With that in mind, these words might fall short, but maybe they will stretch our thinking a little. You see, God's life, God's Zoe, is the real and genuine fullness of life without the contamination of the effects of sin. Can you imagine that? We can experience this even if we can only contain portions of it right now. For those who have been born again and continue in Christ, everlasting life begins in this life and continues into all eternity. And, unlike this natural life, His life will never cease to exist. Now, throughout this message, we have taken a look at the words found in John 3:16. We have considered their definitions and how they affect our life now and in eternity. Something I like to do with other verses when I break them down is to use synonyms of the words and do what I call rebuilding them. I try to choose words that stay true to what the original word means, but with a different angle to provide a fresh perspective. So let me give you John 3:16 in a little bit different way. Because our Creator loved the human race to such a great extent, He gave up His one-of-a-kind Son, that if anyone would be persuaded of His sacrifice for us, they would not experience eternal misery, but their choice would cause them to become His children, and they would also experience true and genuine life. And this life would start right now and never end. How does that sound? Sometimes different translations can help to shed a new light on something that we have heard the same way for many years. As long as we, through the Holy Spirit, understand what the original text means, we can avoid going astray if another translation doesn't sound right. I pray that this message has been helpful in shedding new light on the most popular verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16. Father, I pray that You will continue to reveal Your word to us, and let us not forget what we have learned. Let us build upon what You have given to us as the foundation of our faith in You, and that is the love that You've expressed to us through John 3:16. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.